Y'all ready for today? Amen. Amen. Some of you who already know that we had a parishioner, a good, faithful member. Brenda Markley went home to be with the Lord last week, so just continue to keep her family in prayers, and we'll be, I think they want to come back and do the funeral here. So I'll be making arrangements for that and everything. So we'll keep you posted on everything. So thank you for the prayers and keeping us updated, because I didn't know, and had someone who used to go to our church try to get a hold of me last night, but I was knocked out, so I didn't get that call. But Denise already had told us earlier during the day. So thank you for the prayers. She was a good and faithful woman serving. She didn't mind getting into your face and saying hi. If you were shy, you weren't around Brenda. So I always appreciate her and anyone that serves here. Today we're going to talk about seed time. And what's the last one on that? Harvest. Are y'all sure? Seed time and harvest. This is something that we all live by. We all live by this thing. We can't get around it. No matter how much we want, we cannot. I said, but the thing about faith, I love faith because, number one, we're supposed to live by that every single day. But faith will supersede time, because faith is now. See, seed time and harvest happens. You plant it, you sow it, you water it with the word, and then you'll get a harvest. Certain things in your life, you want to renew your mind with the word. That doesn't happen overnight. You got to continually renew your mind and water the word with the word and continue confessing it over. And then when you begin to act on the word of God, you'll start seeing some things change inwardly. But with seed time and harvest, we're all governed by that. If you got that first scripture up there, Genesis, open up your Bibles if you haven't. The Genesis 8, 20 to 22 says, then Noah built an ark. Now, this is coming after the flood. When, anybody know why God created the flood? Because of man's wickedness, right? He was fed up. He was, this is enough. I'm about to wipe all y'all mugs off the face of this earth. I'm tired of y'all. And he creates this flood. He has Noah build this ark. He creates this flood. And then after 40 days and 40 nights, and then when the water begins to dry up, he tells Noah, come out of the boat. You and your family, get your family out and come on out. And when they did this, and come on out, let all the creatures out in every which way, let them go so that they could be fruitful and that they can multiply. You know, that's what we're supposed to do as well. Be fruitful and multiply. Then it says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed, time, and what? Harvest. Cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. I'll go back to verse 21, please. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. They brought out every clean animal that they could, every clean animal. They built an altar. So they took the time. Noah took the time to build his altar to God and get the right type of animals. Unfortunately, those animals weren't there to multiply. They were there to be sacrificed. They didn't make it out. But that's okay. God was pleased with this. We don't have to offer up sacrifices anymore because Jesus is our sacrifice. He's our atoning sacrifice. Hey, man, thank God I don't have to kill any birds or anything like that. But it says there was a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Now, how many of you, I'm talking to the married couple here, how many of you ever been in an argument with your spouse? And then it got to the place to where it was time to eat. And so you may have been wrong in the situation. I know women are never wrong. And I know some men can be stubborn and they're never wrong too. But you find it in your heart to start making up the meal. And then all of a sudden cooking his favorite meal to kind of make up for what happened and everything else. And then he just comes floating in just with the smell. And all of a sudden take a bite of it. Starts to put a smile on their face, and everything is okay for now. What were we fighting about? I don't even know. It was that aroma that pleased God. It was that aroma that got you to the place to where, listen, if you're cooking when you're angry, your food is going to taste different. Because you may be, in a rush, leaving out ingredients and everything else. And, if you like lumpy potatoes, they might be whipped really good. And if you like fluffy butter potatoes, you'll make them lumpy. There's no soothing aroma in that. Cook with love, y'all. Cook with love. You'll last longer. But he says within his heart, God said to himself, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. And we know, if you go on to chapter 9, it talks about the rainbow. That he said he will never ever flood the earth again. That's what that rainbow is. See, God is the creator. Satan is the perverter. Right on. God is a creator. Satan is a perverter. He will take what God created. That was God's way of creating that covenant with mankind, saying that I will never destroy mankind or any living thing again with the flood. But Satan came and perverted that. And that's all about destruction and what that symbol, that rainbow, is for today. I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Noah's act was an act that was submitted out of the heart of God. But while the earth remains, in verse 22 says, there will always be seed, time, and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer. It'll never cease. That'll never stop as long as we're here on this earth. Seed time and harvest. Sowing and reaping. And we all know that means when you sow the seeds into the earth, it multiplies. Simple concept, but yet sometimes we still are trying to figure out why is all this stuff going on in my life. Seed. Time and harvest. This is the loss of sowing and reaping. Yeah, but I didn't do anything bad in this season, but it could have been something from 10 years ago. Seed, time, harvest. No one here is perfect. Look at the life of Jesus. What did he do that was so bad that caused men to want to kill him? Nothing. He bruised their ego a little bit. Well, not a little bit, a whole lot. Sometimes it could be the things that you're saying that is bold enough. And here's the thing. People are just yielded to the devil. That's all. It's going to tick them off when you act out in faith. It's going to tick them off when you say that God doesn't put sickness on people. But I'm doing it. God did this to show me. Have you learned your lesson yet? Okay, let's move on. If God wanted to teach you with sickness, he'd kill you. This is one of the greatest principles in life that we all live by. It doesn't matter what it is, not referring to just seeds you put in the ground. Clearly here, the text in this scripture is talking about mankind was sowing a whole lot of evil things. They were sowing it. So it isn't God who's destroying people's lives today. That's not God. That's Satan. And the only reason why Satan can do it is through our choices. Galatians 6, 6 through 10 says this, let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Seeds aren't just for fruits and vegetables and stuff. Seed can be your time. It could be your money. It could be your love. It could be an encouraging word. You know, I got some money right here. The thing about money, it's meant to be spent. Bottom line, it's meant to be spent. That's why you have currency. Well, I'm using it because I'm going to grow more money. Okay? You can grow. You can become more wealthy. You can invest it in things of that nature and grow. But ultimately, you're going to have to buy something. You're going to spend it. So if I sow this into Isaiah, I'm sowing it into Isaiah. Here you go. That's you. You get to keep it. Now, he can save it. He can tithe it. He can go and give it to somebody else and pay it forward. Or he can take his wife out on a, it wasn't that much, so Taco Grande. But he's going to eventually spend it. That's why you have money. You tithe to give your offerings. We use it to spend it. Pay the bills. Sow into the kingdom. Sow into other people. Give gifts to military and teachers and things like that. It's just why you're doing it. You're sowing. And that law, that principle never, ever leaves us. No matter what you're doing, you're always, always sowing. So it helps us to be more conscious of what we're doing every single day. I'm going to sow good seed. And if there's some bad seed, well, I know I haven't throat punched anybody, so I'm not going to receive that. But that's something that would open up a door in my life if I were to do that. And the beauty about it, you can take one kernel of corn, one kernel, right? It's called a kernel. And sow that into the ground and water it, and that will produce an ear of corn, correct? And that ear of corn will have multiple kernels that may have maybe 800 to 1,000, depends on how big that corn is. And you can take that and sow it into the ground again. And do that process over and over and over again. You will never run out of seed as long as you continue to sow it. I'm going to go buy me some corn. Or get some seed. Eventually, you're just going to need more land. More places to plant it and stuff. Now, you can take that and give it to other people. Now, here's another thing. The Bible is called the incorruptible seed. Now, if I don't ever take this word and put it into my heart, the soil of my heart, it's not going to do a doggone thing in my life. I can keep it on my coffee table, and I got a pretty cool table. It's pretty dope. I like it because now you can raise it up and it'll fold right there. Now you got a little thing that you can sit down and type on, but my arms aren't long enough, so I gotta type that way. But as long as it sits there on my coffee table, on my kitchen table, on my nightstand, on my desk in the office, what have you, if I'm not putting this word into my life, it's not going to matter. It's not going to work. A simple process, but yet, to be honest with you, Christians are the worst when it comes to this. You talk to a Muslim, they know the word, their word. You talk to a Mormon, they know their word. You talk to any other religion, they know the word. You talk to a Christian, well, not so much. We're saved by grace through faith. And that's all we need to know. No, there's more to it. We put the word in our hearts. And we water the word with more word. And then it produces something. It multiplies. The harvest is always going to be better and greater. Just like that kernel of corn you put in the ground. And then now you get an ear of corn that has thousands of kernels that you can replenish and do it all over again. A simple process that we all live by, but sometimes we still have to forget. I will never get tired of sowing. I sow every single opportunity I get. And I will sow with no strings attached. In this season, in the next season, a season after that, there's never a season where I'm not sowing. Never. And there used to be a time when I didn't want to sow. I didn't understand tithing. I didn't understand giving. Kristen did. I didn't understand it because I didn't pay attention. I went to church just to pass the time. 12 o'clock hit, we were tiptoeing out the church. Our restrooms are outside. They had to go up. And so we go outside, use the restroom, and then we take off. And that's hoop time right there. Got to go play. But seed time and harvest, you're governed by that. Faith will always supersede. Whatever the doctors told you, it can supersede that. 6 to 8 months for that healed ankle? Now. Faith is now. Why? Because your healing has already been provided 2,000 years ago. Now, you can do the 6 to 8 months. That's cool. But it's not faith. Not the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith moves mountains. But if that's where you're at, it's not to discredit. Why? Look at me. But I'm not going to try to make my situation fit the word. I got to get in line with what the word already says and what Jesus already had done. Over this past weekend, I was working up a storm. My goodness. Building stuff and going out, working, door dashing, what have you, and then coming back and then building and going back out. And it's like, I didn't stop until like 10 o'clock at night. I got up and did it the next day. Got to get going. Seed time and harvest. 2 Timothy 3:12 says this. It says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution, prolonged harassment, affliction, injury, grief, or annoyance. See, when you're not living for God, you're going to have a lot more trouble than you need. Because this is what you're sowing. You're sowing You're sowing all that negative seed in every which way. It may not come to pass right now. You might be thinking you're doing good, but it may not come to harvest right now. But when you're living a godly life, when you choose to live a godly life in Christ, you're going to start suffering persecution more so than ever before. And you could be thinking, well, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. As far as my relationship with Jesus, I'm walking away from that lifestyle. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not looking at that. I'm not talking to them. I'm not hanging out with these type of people in every which way. I'm coming to church. I mean, it's not about works, but it's about your relationship. But see, the enemy doesn't like that. He doesn't like that at all. And so he will start getting people to stir some things up into your life and begin to persecute, begin to harass. Oh, you think you a Christian? You think that I remember what you did 10 years ago? That person's dead, man. Why you hung up? That person is dead. She may have said that years ago, but that's all right. Well, I'm gonna say, and the thing about it is that when that harvest comes, it may not be as harsh as you thought it might be. Because now you're more rooted in the word. What could have been an F5 is really a spittle. But as long as you're living your life for Christ, you're in the right direction. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So that's basically some good seed that you're sowing, and you're ended up getting some negative stuff. That's because the enemy doesn't like you. There's two kingdoms at work, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Well, Pastor Terry, you kind of sound like work-based. That ain't work-based. I'm just saying, your relationship with Jesus is the most important thing in your life, getting to know him, the Father. Now, faith without works is dead. I'd rather do the works of Jesus rather than the works of the devil. You choose. That's your choice. God bless you. But don't be surprised what you get. We don't have to be there when you sow the seed. We just have to see the harvest. And sometimes you can even give people the right stuff. They still mess up. It's the prodigal son. Give me my inheritance. I'm going to go and do what I want to do, live my life any kind of way I want to. And he squandered all that. Found himself living among pigs, eating what they have. And it's like, wait a minute. My dad's servants eat better than I do. I'm going to go back home. And his father welcomed him with open arms. And see, and that's the thing that Jesus does to us. He says, look, everything I had was already yours. All you had to do was ask. You didn't have to go and do all that, but I'm glad you learned your lesson. That wasn't a lesson you needed to learn. Everything I have is already yours. You don't have to go that route. Yeah, I understand they're partying, they're doing all this other stuff, but you don't have to go there. What I have for you is right here. It's been here the whole time. So that word, repent, turn, change your mind, change your heart. It's not something that you have to be so sorrowful. It's not something that has to be like, oh, God, this is... Sometimes people repent and they cry because they got caught, not because it was true repentance. When you repent, you change your heart, you change your mind from something. You turn from it. Like I wanted to turn, there was something that I wanted to say to Kristen that I had seen. I think it was the TikTok or something like that. And there was a guy that's telling his wife, and he's just kind of talking. She's in the background. He goes, you should probably diet. And she turned and looked at him. It's a comedy one, so women don't get upset. And she was like, well, and he just kept talking, and she's like, walking up slow, getting ready to bump him over the head. And your hair, you should probably diet. Oh, I thought you meant I was supposed to diet. There's nothing wrong with me, right? But see, I repented. I turned from that. You can't always say what you see on TikTok. But repentance is a great thing. Sometimes it's difficult. The Bible says repent and then ask for forgiveness. Well, they're not forgiving me. That's not my position. If I offended someone, I repent and ask for forgiveness. Now, I can't repent over something that I didn't do. And neither can you. But one thing I won't ever do, they're not forgiving me. That's not up to me. That's between them and God. So I will never send someone to go tell, well, you know, so-and-so needs to forgive me. They're still living in unforgiveness. I don't understand what's going on. I would never do that. That's between them and God. If I repent, if I say something sideways at you and you don't like it, please tell me. Now, I probably won't change what I say because I don't sugarcoat anything. I'm saying it out of love. And I've said this before. There's nothing that I can't say behind somebody's back that I can't say to their face. Don't need to sugarcoat it. But most times I won't say it. About 90% I won't say it. 10%? Good luck, brother. No. But it's seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. God lives in you, but he doesn't control what you sow. So if I want some fruit, I can do what? If I want some fruit right now, what can I do? Get in my car, drive to the store, and go get the fruit because it's already there. It's already picked for me. But if I want some later on, if I want a plant, I'm going to have to go get some seed and sow it. That's not hard. If there are certain things that I want in my life and realizing something that Christ has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing, that's not something I have to go and get. I just receive that by faith. I get it by faith. Faith is the currency in the kingdom. Money is the currency that we live in this physical world. Faith is the currency. Faith will help bring forth spiritual things that Jesus has already freely forgiven us. And faith is not governed by time. That's why it's so important to live by faith. And there's a reason why the Bible tells us not to grow weary in doing good. Because we can. There are seasons in your life where it just seems like all hell is breaking loose. What about? Don't grow weary in doing good. But they're saying all these things. Do not grow weary in doing good. You continue to sow. Because in due season, you will reap. And sometimes we get impatient. That's what that time is for. We don't have to get impatient with God. You want that relationship to work? Be patient. Allow God to work. Don't try to work it yourself. Allow God to work through them. Don't try to force it. Allow God to work through them. You have to understand, you sow even when you don't think you're sowing. Some people are sowing a good attitude right now. Some people are sowing a nasty look at me right now. See, that'll put a smile on your face. There you go. How many of you are happy? Those who are not, tell your face. Be happy, happy, happy. A seed will not do anything if you just leave it there. Think about it. That's his purpose, is to grow, to be harvest. And we're not allowing it sometimes. I once said, Ministry is easy. And the reason why I said it was because, I don't know, for some people who've done youth ministry and went into a senior position, youth ministry, you have to do everything. Excuse me. You guys are already doing most of the stuff. I don't have to run the sound. Dean runs that. I had a runner back there. I had to figure out media shout. Diana does that, and a few other people do that. I don't have to do that. I had to figure out how to do the projection and the TVs and link them up together. Already been done. I had to do the worship with the youth and get them going. Madison gets that going now. All I have to do is preach. Do some other things as well, funerals and things of that nature. I said, but the thing about it is, it's not complicated. Especially when you're working with good people. I don't have to do the offering. Next week I will, but I don't like doing the offering. That's just a confession from me. I don't like that. Brandon's great at that. That's something that the Lord is going to have to work with me on. Because I just want to say, give me your money. No, I'm thank you for giving. Thank you for giving. I don't have to do the ushering. Tom takes care of that. Does a great job. I don't have to do the children. Trey's out there. I don't have to do the youth. Isaiah's doing that. I don't have to, well, we might have to do fundraisers or what have you. I said, but so it's not really a fundraiser. I don't have to take kids to camps. Thank you, Jesus. That is a trying week, but it is a fun week. But it's a long week. Kids don't want to go to sleep. They want to stay up all night and talk. And you know you're going to have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And they still up 4 o'clock. Tiptoeing out, hanging out with other people. How many times y'all sneak out? Oh, right. We're supposed to be watching the kids, and you get some of those camp leaders getting our kids, and it'll be our kids because they were cool, they loved them and everything, and then they sneak out and go out and hang out and wake up, where are these suckers at? But they had a great time. So if you want to do camp, you want to be a counselor, it's really, really cool. But it's trying. It'll try your faith pretty quick. But you sow that. You're sowing all that time. We sow that. You sow that into him. Sow that time into Zeke. Now he's the youth pastor. You sow that time into Trey. Now he's the children's church. You sow that time into Madison and Cass. And now they're up here in Devlin. And they're up here. They're playing there. You sow those things into your children. Not just because you love them. Because you know it's going to produce a harvest in them. And some of y'all have sown some seed into your families. You're like, Lord, I've been sowing. I've been praying. I've been watering that word. When is it going to come? When am I going to see the fruits of my labor? In due season. When you least expect it. But here's the thing. You always be expecting. William, when you sow seed in the ground, do you expect it to come up? Absolutely. Why? That's a principle. That's a law. If I sow anything, I expect return. My focus is on Jesus, but inwardly, my expectancy is I'm going to reap a harvest. So I can do what? Continue to sow. Continue to bless other people. Am I talking about money? No, I didn't go there with money. I'm talking about love, joy, peace. I expect a return. That's a law. You shouldn't feel bad about expecting a return from God. So when you sowed all that seed, the word of God, into your children, even though it may look like, hey, there might be some crop failure going on here, continue to water it with the word. You can rebuke the devourer. those, what you call them, wormwoods, woodworms, huh? Wireworms come in. The wrong types of friends in your kids' lives, those wireworms. You rebuke them with the word. Rebuke them. And continue to water. Because in due season, you're going to reap what you sowed. So sow some good seed so I can see more smiles on your faces. Not because of what you're getting ready to expect, but because of what he's already done for you and who he is. Jesus is the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the provider. He's the redeemer. He's the rebuker. So you don't have to fear, ever. You don't have to be anxious about things. I know sometimes we can be anxious about things in our lives, but I guarantee you, if you begin to start sowing the word more and more and speaking that out rather than a negative self-talk you might give you, that anxiety will leave. Negative thought comes in. You don't want to speak it. Speak the word. Cancel it out with the word. Even if it's the same scripture over and over and over and over again. Jesus only used 3 scriptures to rebuke Satan. Phew, out of here. Gone. How many scriptures do you have to use? 1 for each time. Well, you need a list, a whole list. Get 1. That's like a 357 Magnum, man. Put a hole in you, the devil. Just get 1. Get it memorized, get it into your heart, water it. And when you speak it, I guarantee you, that boldness is going to come out with it. The Holy Spirit is going to help intercede with it, and that thing will dissipate. Whatever it is. And every single time it tries to come back, use the word again. That I believe with every fiber of my being. Stop the negative talk in your life. Stop beating yourself up. It ain't worth it. Amen. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's anyone in here that's dealing with that fear, anxiety, that negative self-talk, just raise your hand real quick, real quick, real quick. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going up all over. Thank you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke that right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We rebuke it. We come against that right now. Those negative thoughts. If you would be brave enough to come up, would you come up? Please, all those who raised your hand, if you are brave enough to come up, please come up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We just needed one, and he wasn't a plant. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.